This is Talk is Cheap on KPWLP 97.3 FM, Eugene Peaceworks Independent Community Radio. I'm your host, DJ SusD. Okay, so what's not being reported in the press is lots of people are against war in general, especially the war in Ukraine. And so there was a protest in Seattle, anti-war protest. And just a little commentary here. They're saying that because Putin is drafting people for the military, that means he's losing. No, what that means is he's escalating the war. And I've said it before, I'll say it again, we need to give reparations to both Ukraine and Russia for ruining Russia at the end of the Cold War with the IMF and corporate extractive policies. And this recent pipeline thing, you know, I've said many times that it will not be easy to wrest power from the corporate oligarchs. And so this is them thrashing around, no matter who damaged the pipeline or how the pipeline got damaged. You're going to see some crazy stuff in the when we try to take power away from corporations. And the way to deal with this, and if you can, I'm not saying it's very difficult to do. I'm having trouble with it myself, but I'm moving in that direction. Get away from corporations. Become self-sufficient. Grow your own food. Produce your own power. Get with your neighbors. Go find your mutual aid society. Get with your conservative neighbors, because they are victims of neoliberalism, as well as left and progressives are victims of neoliberalism. So, yes, prices are going to go up on oil and everything else, but in a way that's a good thing, because we all need to become self-sufficient, and hopefully we can help those that are affected by it most. But the way to solve global warming and war is to localize and decentralize. And I haven't said it enough lately, rooftop solar, rooftop solar, rooftop solar. Thanks for listening. Tell your friends. Support independent media.
Okay, welcome. I am Beth Brutton with the Seattle Anti-War Coalition. We are at the Federal Building in downtown Seattle. It's a beautiful, sunny September day for our first Tuesday monthly protest. Today, we're lucky to hear from a Seattle Veterans Peace Leader named Randy Roland, who's going to talk to us about an exciting program coming up, Waging Peace in Vietnam. And then we'll hear our monthly update from Dan, and we'll hear about a march and rally coming up this month from Mona, and any other announcements. So I just want to say we appreciate being on Indigenous land. We will show our gratitude by protecting it from environmental, climate issues, as well as nuclear weapons and war. So that's how we can acknowledge the land that we're on and the people who are living here. So with no further ado, Randy, I hope you will introduce yourself. So Randy Roland with Seattle Veterans for Peace. He's going to be in a movie that you're going to see, and he'll tell you about the movie that he's in. Go ahead, Randy.
Hi, my name is Randy Roland. I was convicted of mutiny during the Vietnam War, which wasn't all that atypical of those times. Here's the thing. American soldiers were told that if we didn't stop them over there, we'd have to fight them over here. The GIs got to Vietnam and found out they didn't even have a proper Navy. They weren't coming over here. It was a lie. And bit by bit by bit, the soldiers came to understand that it was a lie. I was a medic in the Army, taking care of the wounded. I had enlisted thinking that it was my patriotic duty, pay your dues for living in the country, and all that sort of thing. I had believed the recruiter, et cetera. And taking care of the wounded, I was working on a unit that was head and neck injuries, mostly. And so there's people who are paralyzed from some point down. Guys that couldn't turn the pages of the book. They couldn't, feed themselves. They, some of them were comatose and were just used as training aids, really, for the young physicians and nurses that were learning their craft on a living human being who was, defenseless, shall we say. And in that horror, I came to think, this is terrible. There's got to be a really good reason for this. But to my horror, I realized that the ones that could talk, every one of those GIs told me that they had not made their sacrifice for a good cause. That they had gone to Vietnam and had done bad things to the people of Vietnam. That we were the bad guys, not the good guys in Vietnam. And the combination of the horror of the suffering of my patients, the guys I was taking care of, with their stories of the fact that we were the bad guys. We were the invaders. We were not defending, we were invading. And that combination was a wake-up call for me. Well, it was a wake-up call for a lot of GIs, is the truth of the matter. And as the soldiers came home from Vietnam, they really tried hard to wake up the American public. Because, of course, the political leadership in the country was full of all about the glories and how important it was, and secret plans to end the war that turned out to be bombing, et cetera, et cetera, and just more and more horror. There were more houses destroyed in Vietnam by Zippo lighters as the soldiers torched people's homes and just scattered their food so that they wouldn't have anything to eat than there were by bombs. And there was more bombs dropped in Vietnam than in all of World War I and World War II put together. And so, here was this little country that was just, they just wanted their own country, same as anybody would, They wanted to be left alone, same as anybody would. And to the horror of the American soldiers, we came to realize that what we were doing was being the bad guys. We were the invaders, and they were simply defending. With that realization, I decided that I was going to I turned against the war, of course, and one thing led to another. Now, the reason I tell you all those stories is to say that there's a really exciting exhibit that's coming to Seattle. It's going to open on September 28th. It'll be here until October 28th, up on the campus of the University of Washington, the Seattle campus, in the big Suzalo Library, that great big Suzalo Library. In the Allen lobby, down on the ground floor, a huge exhibit that's all about American GI and veteran resistance to the war in Vietnam. And that resistance was significant. It was so significant that it actually changed the course of history, because the Army, even even in the Pentagon admission, had become unreliable. There were 10 documented mutinies in Vietnam that we can say the names of the people who were involved. You know, there were countless refusals of orders. There were hundreds of names on that wailing wall in Washington, D.C. put there at the hands of their own soldiers, you know, as the soldiers started shooting their officers. And then the brass took away the guns when they were in base camp so that they wouldn't shoot their officers. They were more scared of their own soldiers than they were of the Vietnamese. And then when the base camps would be attacked by the Vietnamese, the guys didn't even have guns to defend themselves. Talk about what had been a little bit of a rift turned into a wide river of dissent. And people just angry that they were being asked to do horrible things to the civilians. All of that is documented very well and in good graphic form and an amazing array of artifacts in this exhibit that's going to be here in Seattle September 28th to October 28th. Along with that exhibit, which was curated by a fellow named Ron Carver, who was in Vietnam, 5 or 6 years ago or something, with the Vietnamese. He was talking to some important people in Vietnam, and they said, "Gosh, you know, we heard stuff about the GI resistance. We knew it was kind of going on in some, but we really never really knew the details." And they asked him to create this exhibit. So he created the exhibit, and it was supposed to be a temporary exhibit at the War Remnants Museum in Ho Chi Minh City. And it was such a popular exhibit, and at a certain point, they decided to keep it as a part of their permanent collection. And it's been the most popular part of their exhibits in the museum since then. And Ron Carver, the guy who made the exhibit, decided that it was kind of odd that the Vietnamese were learning all about American soldiers who chose humanity over uniform at a critical moment. And it was odd that the American people were rapidly forgetting, to the extent they ever even knew the story, were rapidly forgetting, because that's generations now that have gone by. For those people who think that they really wish that the Russian soldiers would resist their orders or rebel against their commanders in the invasion through Ukraine, why, this exhibit is all about American soldiers who, in the same sort of situation, when they found themselves on the wrong side of an unjust war, did exactly that. And they rebelled and revolted in a variety of ways, large and small, in such huge numbers that even the Pentagon had to admit that the Army had become unreliable. And they went to the air war, where they just continued to drop war bombs that started withdrawing soldiers. Then the Navy and the Air Force started resisting in larger and larger numbers, with ships that were sabotaged by their own sailors, you know, and put out of commission for, you know, 6 months, 9 months at a time because somebody had thrown a wrench into the reduction gears of an aircraft carrier, you know, that kind of thing. And, to the point where the intelligence guys were actually giving bad intelligence to the people who were supposed to set up the bombing runs, so that the bombs would drop harmlessly rather than on people trying to protect, because they realized they were just innocent civilians. There's a couple of big lessons that American soldiers brought back from Vietnam. One is the true nature of war, which is that it's always against civilians. It's always a war crime. You know, war ought to be war crime, because that's what war is. And we, the soldiers, kind of came to understand in really stark, horrible terms exactly why that's true. The second lesson we learned, though, really was that it wasn't just that it was a war crime, or, you know, that war itself is horrible, but that American foreign policy was that of a bully. You know, American foreign policy was that of a rapist. It was the, you know, you do exactly what I say and maybe you won't get hurt. You know, that's not negotiations. That's not any kind of normal thing. You could have a conflict with your neighbor, you know, over whether their apples are dropping in your yard or whether their dog poops in your backyard or whatever, you know. But that doesn't mean you go and you throw a knife up to their neck and say, "Get that dog out of my yard or I'll slice your throat." American foreign policy, as we came to understand it, was more of the, it was the bully, it was the rapist, it was, you know, you do what we say, you submit, at the point of the gun, with the blade up against your throat, all the kind of horrible stuff. And just thinking for myself, it was a terrible moment for me when I realized that that policy, that bully policy, wasn't the exception to an otherwise wonderful track record. You know, I at first thought, oh, okay, well, we're just really doing the wrong thing in Vietnam, but at least it's still in America. We're doing, you know, I mean, everybody makes a mistake. You know? And it was a horrible moment, and I realized that that wasn't the exception to the rule, that was the rule. And, you know, and you could go through a variety of wars and details and find all that out. This exhibit is about the Vietnam experience, but the exhibit could be about when the U.S. went into the Philippines, or when the U.S. went into Mexico, or when the U.S. went into Korea. You know, any of those land grabs, those kind of aggressive, bully tactic kind of things, we don't necessarily know as rich a detail about it, but there has been resistance to each and every one of those things. We know a lot of the detail of the Vietnam experience, and this exhibit is about that. So I invite everybody to go and see the exhibit. In addition, we have some ancillary activities that are going on around the exhibit. On October 5th, down in Tacoma, at the Collins Library at the University of Puget Sound, there's going to be a panel discussion featuring genuine GI resistors from back in the day who did their acts of resistance up here in the Northwest. And then the next day, October 6th, on campus in the hub at the University of Washington, we're going to have a full-day conference which will feature genuine GI resistors from back in those days, a different setup, and veterans with VBAW that played such an important role when they came home, and other people, and bring it right up to today where we have things like Courage to Resist, which currently is running a GI hotline in Europe, which they answer in both Russian and Ukrainian, so that soldiers from both sides who are feeling like they want to resist war can find solace and help, legal help and that sort of thing. So it's not like this is ancient history, this is bringing it right up to the day. In addition to those conferences and you know, live presentations featuring the real people from back in the day, we're going to have on the University of Washington campus in Seattle, we're going to have a three film screening series. Those are going to be every Thursday night at 6:30 in Thompson Hall. One is going to be Sir No Sir, which is the definitive movie about GI resistance in Vietnam. One is going to be the FTA show, which is kind of part vaudeville, part GI resistance stories featuring GI resistors, where Hollywood sent around a show to the various places around the Pacific Rim where American soldiers were stationed. It was an anti-war show. It was the alternative to the Bob Hope show, which would go around waving the flag and bringing in, you know, beauty queens, or, you know, here's Miss America in a bikini, you know. And instead, it was Donald Sutherland and Jane Fonda and Country Joe McDonald and Holly Near and a variety of other really cool people who went around. So the FTA movie is the movie that was sort of part making of and part the actual shows, is skits and that sort of stuff. It's fascinating. And the third one is about draft refusal, draft resistance, and it's called The Boys Who Said No. That's important now because, as many people might know, the Supreme Court a couple years ago said that the American government had to either quit registering males for the draft, or they had to start registering females. That they couldn't, that it was sex discrimination to register men and not register women. So over the last couple of years in Congress, there's been competing bills. You know, one to eliminate draft registration for men, and the other to add women to draft registration. So this is a looming issue for the purposes of the draft issue. Luckily, there's been dysfunction in Congress, and neither bill has passed. But it's only, you know, sooner or later, one of those bills is going to pass. And you know, so stay tuned, folks, because you know, ladies, you're either going to be signing up for the draft, or men, you're going to be free of it, and it's worth paying attention to that because we want it definitely to go one way and not the other. So the exhibit, September 28th to October 28th, the ancillary stuff, the conference and the panel discussions, the movie series, and then one final thing we're going to have is the music and poetry of resistance. It's going to be on campus at the UW. I encourage everybody to come. It's going to be local musicians and poets who are going to be speaking from and singing from their hearts on the question of war and our responsibility with regard to it. So September 28th, October 28th in Suslo Hall, the library. Come see the exhibit.
Let's give him a hand. Good job.
Thank you, Bradley. So you'll find that information on our website, and we'll send it out to our list for those watching this now and later. Thank you, Randy. We really admire your courage and the consistency of you and all the Viet Vets who spend so much time and energy helping the rest of the peace movement stay active and focused. So now we're going to hear about our Seattle Anti-War Coalition monthly policy update. What wars are starting, ending, and what we can do. So thank you, Dan, for putting this together for us.
All right, well, thanks everybody for coming. Beautiful day we have here, downtown Seattle. I just want to echo Randy's plug for the exhibit. I was fortunate to see it in Ho Chi Minh City when I was on a tour with Peace Trees Vietnam in 2019. And then in 2020, it was over at our national convention in Spokane. So it really is a terrific exhibit. You're going to just admire the courage of all of these GIs who stood up and resisted and dissented to this illegal, unnecessary, and immoral war. So if you, Randy's got extra flyers, if you want to take them for your other organizations, please do before you go. We've got plenty of flyers here. All right, well, the first two sentences you can all say together in unison with me, as we say all the time. The war in Ukraine drags on. There's no end in sight. Say it every month. None of the principal actors, Ukraine, Russia, NATO, are calling for any negotiations. And so the war appears to be going to be going on a long time. In fact, it's escalating. Russia is adding 150,000 more military to their ranks, and they're also beginning to accept drones from Iran and missiles from North Korea. So, and of course, NATO, the U.S., is continuing to supply Ukraine with just about everything their hearts desire. 2 weeks ago, they offered Ukraine $775 million in weaponry for the war there. But it appears that wasn't enough. So the Biden administration asked Congress to approve $13.7 billion for security and economic aid to keep the war there going. You might think that, well, Ukraine is getting massive amounts of weapons for use on the front lines, but there was a CBS documentary that was going to air, but they were pressured by the government and other folks not to air it. And the documentary aired claimed that only 30% of the weapons we send to Ukraine make it to the front lines. Probably not surprising, with Ukraine number 9 on the world corruption scale. Biden a few weeks ago said he was now exploring sending jets and pilots to Ukraine for that war. Well, you may remember, he probably doesn't remember, what he said in March. He said sending jets and pilots to Ukraine would amount to World War III. Let's hope he has his memory comes back to him and remembers that. Well, there's other wars going on in other countries, you know, our 7 endless wars, although Afghanistan now is not an active war. There's still a war on for the money that they're owed, that we have. I'll talk about that in a minute. But we're continuing to bomb Syria frequently. And just recently, we killed a number of U.S. troops there as well. I'm sorry, we killed a number of Syrians and injured a bunch of U.S. troops as we continue to occupy that country and are stealing their oil and wheat. And the country that we bombed, I mean, I'm sorry, the organization that we bombed was authorized to be there by the Syrian government, unlike the U.S. troops. So it's not just Syria, we're bombing in Somalia as well. We do that periodically. Of the alleged terrorists there. So recently 20 were killed, civilians were killed there in the bombing there. It seems that bombing is the U.S. way to deal with the countries they have conflict with and keep the troops safe by just bombing.
This is KPW LP 97.3 FM, Eugene Peace Works Independent Community Radio. You're listening to the anti-war protests in Seattle just recently in September. Thanks for listening. Tell your friends.
Well, last month we talked about the non-proliferation treaty here. It was just starting. There was a bit of hope that something would come out of it. Maybe something like no first use, something like that. Well, the convention has concluded, and it was an utter failure. But that's probably no surprise, as the nuclear states are not willing to give up their nukes, or even begin to reduce them. In fact, the United States is in development for new cruise missiles, more bombers, developing more land-based missiles and sea-based launchers for nuclear weapons. So that's certainly unfortunate. That's the best tool we have to begin to reduce and eliminate weapons, only if they would abide by the treaty, and they simply are not. And all those countries would claim that they're following a rule-based order. You might have seen this, Senator Roger Wicker, can't remember what state he's from, but he said we should have a $1 trillion defense budget to accelerate nuclear arms arsenal. Apparently we don't have enough of those, even though we can kill the world over how many times? Well, this is interesting. Secretary of Defense has contributed a new military oxymoron to go along with the ever-popular military intelligence. His oxymoron is humanitarian war. He has put out a dictate to reduce the number of civilians killed in our bombing, in our drone strikes, so that we can feel better about our bombing. So that's his contribution to a new phrase for a new oxymoron related to the military. Well, you know, the Arctic is not a nation, it's a region. There's eight different nations that have land in the Arctic Circle. And just recently, the U.S. appointed an ambassador to the Arctic. Seems kind of strange, it's not a nation. All of these eight countries meet periodically to coordinate and cooperate in the management of the Arctic. Well, with the sea ice melting now, shipping lanes are coming open. The resources there are easier to get to, and so having an ambassador now signals that the Arctic is going to be part of the geopolitical Cold War battleground. So, of course, and there's lots of oil and gas development up there in the Arctic Circle that we do. So, I guess our new ambassador will have to live at Barrow, Alaska. It's on the tip inside the Arctic Circle. Last I saw, it's a population just over 2,000. So he should be okay there, I guess. He or she, whoever the ambassador is. So back to Afghanistan, you know, we owe $7 billion to that country. That is their money. And Biden was keeping half of it he promised it to the 9/11 survivors. But just recently, the 9/11 survivors wrote a letter to Biden saying that he should give that money to the Afghanistans, who are in dire need based on the famine that's happening there and the poverty there. So let's hope that he acts on that. The Defense Department reports sexual assault in the military is up 13%, up 25% for the Army, 11% for rape. Of course, we all know that sexual assault is an occupational hazard in the military, especially for women. So, in a way, it's surprising that these figures are up, because last year they authorized independent representation for women reporting of a sexual assault. On the other hand, it may be because of this new reporting that they're reporting more cases. Either way, it's pretty disturbing that these numbers are not going down, they're going up. The other thing related to the military, you know, the military is having trouble recruiting recruits. for the military. They're way down. They're lowering their goals. And they're not happy with Biden in this regard, because Biden forgave some of the student loans that people have. And the Army feels that cancelling some of the student debts will make it harder for them to recruit. Because the number one reason the recruits give for joining the military is for job opportunities and money for college. So I guess this should be part of our good news thing, which we'll turn to now. And the good news continues to be South America. Colombia, Chile, and Brazil. Colombia, of course, you know, now has a very progressive president and vice president. They've just reestablished diplomatic relationships with Maduro of Venezuela instead of Guaido that the previous president had relationship with. So there's a lot of hope there in Colombia. Chile, new progressive president and vice president that were elected there. Unfortunately, their vote on a new constitution that happened Sunday did not pass, but they've got a dialogue and discussion going about it. And the polls show that despite this one losing, it was pretty radical. It was pretty out there that people want a new constitution and don't want to continue the one that they have now and that was made under Pinochet. So they'll go back to it, they'll revise it, and try again. And so Brazil, coming up on former President Lula, is up in the polls. So that bodes well to getting rid of Bolsonaro and his right-wing regime there. The other last piece of good news is, I said at the beginning, Ukraine and Russia were negotiating. We're not negotiating. We're calling for negotiations. Well, I kind of misspoke. They are negotiating over prisoner swaps and getting grain exports out. I just can't seem to talk about the war, the elephant in the room. Well, that's the foreign policy update for first Tuesday in September.
Thank you, Mike. So next, we have Mona Lee to talk about the march and rally coming up later this month to abolish nuclear weapons. Mona has been a long-time leader in the movement against nuclear weapons of war. So Mona, tell us about the march.
Okay, well, I'm Mona Lee. I'm here representing Citizens for the Universal Abolition of Nuclear Weapons, and also Ground Zero, Center for Nonviolent Action. I've been told that a lot of people are not aware that 20 miles from where I'm standing, over at the Bangor submarine base of U.S. Naval Submarine Bangor on the Hittite Peninsula, is one of the largest stockpiles, at least the third largest stockpile of nuclear weapons in the entire world. And so that's why Ground Zero is there, is located right in the fence, the Bangor submarine fence, and they block the gate to protest in a symbolic closure of the base. And we've been working on that for years. And but coming up very soon in September, we're going to have something new that we haven't done before, and that's the march and rally, which will be here in downtown Seattle. And we want to have this happen every year. That's the goal. And we want lots and lots of people to come. And this will be a march and rally to abolish nuclear weapons. And I don't know, I presume everybody listening here knows what a nuclear war could do. I mean, would do, basically, would wipe everything out. And it was, Dan mentioned that they don't seem to be able to negotiate in between Ukraine and Russia. And I think that's basically a proxy war between the U.S. and Russia. And they are the two most nuclear countries in the world. And it's a very scary thing because there have even been threats of the use of nuclear weapons. So it's not like we can go away and say, oh, it's not going to happen. It could happen, and then that would amount to the total annihilation of basically the human species and probably a lot of the life on Earth. And so on September 24th, we're going to be gathering at the federal building. Excuse me, we're going to be gathering with Ellen's and Park. David Swanson from World Beyond War. He's coming up here from, I think it's California, where he is, anyway, to be the main keynote speaker. And also speaking at this rally will be Rachel Hoffman, who is a Marshallese woman, and she can tell you what the Marshallese people experience, the destruction of their beautiful island, and there will be as guinea pigs by the U.S. to determine what nuclear bombs could do to people. And so she's going to be there speaking about first-hand experience and what nuclear bombs can do. And also we're going to have Tom Rogers, who is a former submarine captain who used to drive the submarines that carry nuclear weapons, but is now a very active leader at Ground Zero, Center for Nonviolent Action. So those are going to be the main speakers. We're also going to have music and chanting, and it's going to be lots of fun. So so it will start at noon at Cal Anderson Park. People will gather there at the north end of the park, and then we will practice the chants and have some speeches, and then we'll march to the federal building down Pine Street and down 2nd Street, and there will be another rally here at the federal building. So it's going to be a great day, and please have everybody consider attending. I have here, I don't know if you can see the poster that we're putting up. We hope everybody sees it and can come. So everyone's
Let's give Mona a hand. She's really been a strong leader for ending nuclear weapons of war. Now, if you're interested in volunteering, you can reply to the email inviting you to this event, and we'll get your information to Mona and Tom and the others. And if you're willing to volunteer to help us carry our banner, also reply, because we're going to have some people help us carry the banner. So I want to make a couple announcements. Please join us again the first Tuesday of October, October 4th, same time, same place, and bring your friends. Also, Earth Care Not Warfare has its monthly Wednesday at noon meeting tomorrow. If you want the Zoom link, just reply to the admin at clantiwar@gmail.com that sent me this invitation today. So I just want to close by saying, keep your work to end weapons and end war. Get more people involved. It's important for the climate. It's right now. It's important for our future, for our children. There's so many reasons why what Randy says is true. War is against civilians and therefore a crime. These wars these days. What was the second thing you said? Oh, that this policy is really not helping. We say it's about human rights and democracy. You don't export human rights and democracy at the end of a bomb.
that's not the way democracy works. So please, and thank you all for being here, and that's it for today. Thanks, everybody.
Yeah, like, Dick? Oh, good. Barty wants to.
Yeah.
Would Dick take it home then? Yeah, do you want Dick to take the batter home, or do you want to take the batter home? It's pretty light, it rolls up.
But Dick
and Mona's going to be doing a lot of stuff, I'm sure.
I hope that Veterans for Peace will also do their banner and be there.
They blew it up! And then the apes blew up their society, too! How could this happen? And then the birds took over and ruined their society! And then cows! And then, I don't know, is that a slug, maybe? No! We can't go back in time, but we can keep going forward until people invent the backwards time machine. And then we can go home. Hit it!
In the year 105, if man is still alive, if the robot can survive, they may find. In the year 25, the backwards time machine still won't have arrived. In all the world, there's only one technology, a rusty sword for practicing proctology. Oh. In a future year that ends with a 20, a schlubby merman's gonna try to get chummy. He may look like a watery wing, when in fact he's a bloodthirsty shrimp. In the year 1,000,000 and a half, humankind is enslaved by giraffe. Man must pay for all his misdeeds when the treetops are stripped of their leaves. Whoa!
The vast emptiness.
Yeah, I can take a hint.
Ah.
25, 25. If man is still alive, if woman can survive, they may thrive. In the year 35, ain't gonna need to tell the truth, tell no lies. Everything you think, do, and say is in the pill you took today. In the year 45, ain't gonna need your teeth, won't need your eyes. You won't find a thing to chew. Nobody's gonna look at you. In the year 55, your arms, your legs got nothing to do. Some machine doing that for you. In the year 65, ain't gonna need no husband, won't need no wife. You pick your son, pick your daughter too. From the bottom of a long plastic mold. In the year 75, if God's a-comin', he oughta make it by then. Maybe he'll look around himself and say, guess it's time for the judgment day. In the year 85,
billion tears for what he never knew. Now man's reign is through, but through eternal night, the twinkling of starlight, so very far away, maybe it's only yesterday. The year 2525, if man is still alive,
brought to you by Polythene Peninsula. Don't wait to get in on the seafloor of this earth-shattering real estate opportunity. Made from 100% post-consumer plastic, these houses and the entire development are built to last for millennium. We have a few units in the low 250s still left. Act now and we guarantee, while they last, fresh packaged fish on your doorstep twice daily. Polythene Peninsula, spreading the future across the globe. Brought to you by Silt River Tree Museum and Casino. Built on the site where an actual ancient rainforest once stood, see a full-scale replica of a Douglas fir tree. See pictures of trees larger in diameter than a man is tall. Trout and salmon that once choked the rivers of the Northwest will sing to you in our chamber of taxidermy. Hear the disaffected sounds of Feller Buncher and his bunch of fellers, an all-ex-logger band, in our simulated wood amphitheater. Take the Oregon Desert Highway to the clear-cut road exit, turn right at the stump in the road, and you're at Silt River Tree Museum and Casino. Free parking, kids a buck and a half, closed during summer months due to melting asphalt, giant locusts, and methyl ethyl hydroxy colchicine slag emissions. Brought to you by Crazy Larry MD's Procedure Emporium, where they're crazy for your health care. Hi, I'm Crazy Larry MD from Crazy Larry MD's Procedure Emporium, where we're crazy for your health care. We guarantee to charge you only 100% of what your insurance pays after they pay it, or whatever's higher, with approved collateral. Come on down, we'll give you a free ride in my Bugatti. Our internationally sought surgeon will have you for dinner once you pay your bill. Free vasectomy by Rabbi Cutswell with every operation. This week's special, open heart surgery, just $50,000, sutures not included. At Crazy Larry MD's, call for the latest location. I'm crazy for your healthcare.